This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Welcome to the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am Nate Schreiber, and as always, with my co-host, Alex Pollinger.
Welcome to a special edition of the Bills Breakdown Podcast. As promised earlier this week, we would come back with a fantasy podcast this week. Nate and I are both big fantasy football guys, and with most people probably having their drafts this weekend, at least I would hope you wait until the week before the season to draft, given the type of injuries that can happen in preseason, like J.K. Dobbins. Just avoid those things altogether and wait as long as you can to have your draft. So, Nate, I think we'll just go through our kind of five big rules for fantasy that we each have to help people out with their drafts.
Yeah, so, I mean, fantasy drafts, especially if you're new to them or aren't like a veteran, they can be kind of intimidating, especially because pretty much every league has different rules, different things you have to do. And so if you just go at it, you know, with some simple stuff in mind, you're probably going to come on top, because every league anyone's in, there's at least three guys that have no idea what they're doing, or three ladies. Like, there's three people in the league that don't know what they're doing pretty much every time.
Definitely. So my first one is know your rules and scoring system for your league. And that might sound simple, but looking at my draft boards this year that I make for each league, it varies widely depending on the scoring system. And if you're in a standard league, get out of your standard league or convince people to like at least move it to a half PPR. Stop playing in the Stone Age. But a half PPR league, I'm looking at more, I need guys that score touchdowns. The receptions don't matter quite as much. They quite literally half as much. So why not go get a guy that scores more touchdowns? Because those proportionally are more points in that league. And then at the same time, you have like a full PPR league. You're going to have a guy like Keenan Allen be a bit more valuable because he catches a ton of balls. He doesn't score a lot of touchdowns, but that's more valuable in that league than it is in a half PPR.
And so for anyone that doesn't know, PPR is just point per reception. So if you catch a pass, they get a point or a half point, whatever it might be. And then there's leagues out there that do sometimes half a point or a point for first downs, which is a different other thing you can get into. But yeah, it's really important, like Alex said, to know what your rules are before the draft and not figure it out after you finish drafting.
Definitely. So Nate, what's your first rule?
So it kind of goes along with what you just talked about, Alex. It's the understanding the difference between a one quarterback league and a two quarterback league. Now, there's a two quarterback league can either be a league where you actually have to play two quarterbacks, or it can be a super flex league where one of your flex positions, you can play someone at any position. So quarterback, wide receiver, running back, tight end. Because in two quarterback leagues, quarterbacks are very important, because there are, if you get two of the top 12 quarterbacks, you are in really, really good shape. In a one quarterback league, if you get two of the top 12 quarterbacks, you only play one and just wasted a draft pick where you could have gotten, you know, another top 12 running back, top 12 wide receiver, top four or five tight end. And the quarterback in turn in those leagues doesn't matter as much, because their scoring can get outweighed by having multiple elite players at other position groups.
That's exactly right. And this may be changing a little bit as, you know, the NFL quarterback is changing. We're getting guys that run more, and kind of your run-of-the-mill scoring for quarterbacks typically gives four points for a passing touchdown, but six for a rushing touchdown. And any quarterback that runs is going to be a good fantasy quarterback, regardless of if they're an actually good NFL quarterback or not. And I think that's an important thing to understand is, yes, you might have a good quarterback in real life, like an Aaron Rodgers. Last year, he was great in fantasy as well because he threw so many touchdowns. But he's not always the best fantasy quarterback, because there's other guys that get a ton of points from rushing.
Right, and I mean, as Bills fans, we know Josh Allen. He's ran for no less than 8 touchdowns in any season in the league, which is why even as a rookie when he was terrible, he was a pretty good fantasy quarterback.
Yeah, it's fun. I encourage people to move towards like 6-point passing touchdowns. Quarterback's the most important position in the NFL. Why isn't that the most important position in fantasy? Like, there's a bit of a disconnect between real football and fantasy football. And I think it gets better every year. We're figuring out better ways to balance that out.
And it helps. I mean, when you're in fantasy leagues, especially if it's a league with a lot of football fans, you have a shot to like convince the league to move in a certain direction or not. And I mean, we both strongly recommend 6-point passing touchdowns for quarterbacks, regardless of whether it's a 1 or 2 quarterback league. Because I mean, quarterbacks, look at who wins the MVP every year in the NFL now. Like, when's the next time a non-quarterback wins the MVP? I mean, I don't think it's coming for a long time. And fantasy should reflect that, because it's an extension of what we see on the field.
Definitely. So I'll move on to my second rule here. And when you're in your draft, just follow your board in the first few rounds. Don't worry about, if say you're picking, 7th or 8th, you don't like the running backs there. Okay, you take the best wide receiver available, comes back around to you, and 5 or 6 running backs have gone again. Don't just take a running back because you think you need one. There should be another elite level player at wide receiver or tight end there. Just follow your board in the first few rounds. So I highly encourage you, set your own board. Don't use the default one that comes with whatever website that you use. And just take the top player on it for those first few rounds, and you're really going to like your team.
Right, and I mean, to go along with that, as my number two, was about having a plan for the first 5 rounds. And the first 5 rounds, it's really important to just know exactly what you want to do. Do you want to go running back to start off? Do you want to not draft running backs at all in the first 5 rounds and get one of the best 2 quarterbacks plus an elite tight end and then 2 other top tier players plus another, probably get 5 top 12 guys and just don't get a run at non-running back positions and just say, okay, we're going to punt running backs, which is a valid strategy in some leagues. Or like, you have to know what you want to do. If you know what you want to do, it makes the first 5 rounds a lot easier, because every time you draft, you make a pick, next pick, okay, if he's available, this is my guy. If he's available, this is my guy. And it makes it a lot easier than trying to just make it up as you go along.
I think that's a good point as well. And I wouldn't ever want to go into a draft saying, all right, I'm going running back, no matter what. Because what happens if, you hold the 10th pick and 9 running backs come off the board in front of you? Is the 10th player on your board a running back? Probably not. It's not on my board. And I think this kind of goes into a later point of mine, but be flexible and ready to adapt on the fly, because no draft is going to go how you expect it to go. And I think that's the importance of just running a few mock drafts. One of my favorite tools is Fantasy Pros Draft Wizard. You can do a mock draft in like 3 minutes on there, and you do 5, 10 of those. You're kind of prepared to see how, not any scenario, but you kind of react on the fly and see how your team looks in different scenarios. And then that helps you formulate the plan, like Nate said.
Before we go on to the next one, you don't have to, when you do mock drafts, you do not have to do, if you have a 18 round draft or a 20, you don't have to do the whole 18 rounds in your mock draft. It's the most important thing to figure out is like the first half of it.
For sure. Because very rarely do you get a league-winning fantasy player beyond round 9 or 10.
So, Alex, what is your third tip for playing fantasy?
So it kind of goes along with following your board, but don't be at the end of a run on a position group. So the example I gave, if you're picking 10th and, 9 running backs go, I'm guessing you don't have 10 running backs to start your board, so don't take a running back just because you feel like you need one, because everybody else took one. And especially in a 1 quarterback league, once those first 4 or 5 quarterbacks are off the board, and if like 3 of them go right in front of you, don't panic select a quarterback, because I'm pretty sure it's at least over the last few years, outside of the first 4 or 5 quarterbacks, you can kind of stream each week and pick up a guy from the waiver wire or someone that has a good matchup and play them, and that's typically as good as like the 6th overall quarterback if you're able to do that throughout the season.
So I kind of want to add on to that a little bit. This is not anything to do with my next one, but I think the easiest way to do that is to put all of your put your border groups in tiers. If you know your tiers, and if you're at the end of a, what you think might be the end of a run, but there's a guy in the same tier as the three guys that just went in front of them, you still make the pick. You just don't drop down a tier at the end of a run. I think that's like the more nuanced way of thinking about it. That's the way I kind of think about it myself.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a good way to frame that, Nate, because yeah, it's a good way to structure it in tiers, because there's a big difference between, you know, a cluster of, you know, four or five running backs in your second tier, and then getting into that third tier. You don't want to reach into that until, you know, it's time to get them on your board. You don't want to reach on those guys.
And having tiers like that, and having a board set up like Alex has talked about a little bit, it kind of prevents you from reaching if you can actually stick to it and not like panic pick or do something impulsively.
Yeah, Nate, so what's your third tip here?
My third tip is about tight ends. So in fantasy, there are elite tight ends every year. There's a small group of them, like probably max of five, usually less than that. And then there's the rest of the tight ends. Like, and so my tip is you get an elite tight end early in the draft, or you wait. Like there's no other, I don't think there's really another way of doing it. I don't think it's worth, like, you don't want to take a second tier tight end in the sixth or seventh round. Like, it's just not worth doing it, because the difference between tier two and tier three is not huge. The difference between tier one and tier two is massive.
That's right. And when you look at a guy like Travis Kelce or Darren Waller, they would finish as top six wide receivers last year. So you have those guys at tight end. That's a massive positional advantage if you get Kelce or Waller. But after that, don't take a tight end just for the sake of taking a tight end because, oh, I didn't get one of the top ones. If you wait till round 10, 11, 12, you can get a guy that's just as good as the, you know, the tight end that your league mates are reaching on in round 7.
Like, I mean, not that this is necessarily going to happen, but in on average, the difference between like a TJ Hockenson, a Mark Andrews, a Dallas Goedert, and then a Logan Thomas, a Cole Kmet, Robert Tonyan, I don't think it's going to be huge. And you can get the last three guys I mentioned a lot lower in drafts than the first three guys.
For sure. So my fourth one, kind of, there's a theme here of, you know, kind of have a plan, follow your board, know your tiers. Don't just fill out your starting lineup in a draft, kind of, not necessarily in order, and then go drafting bench, because you're not going to have a very deep team. A lot of times, like Nate said, you're probably going to have two or three people that don't know what they're doing. And in round 8, all of a sudden they take a defense. Like, don't do that. There's so many good players you can fill out either in your flex spots, depending on how many you have, or your bench so you have some depth, the running back and wide receiver. Like, just don't feel like you have to fill out that starting lineup.
Especially if you are, in, as in most leagues, when you have a kicker and a defense that you have to draft. Like, I'll move on. This goes into my next point, which is, don't draft the defense is, and I'm not, so in general, like for the average league, this tip makes 100% sense. Like, do not draft the defense in the average league, because the top five defenses on average finish outside the top 12 in average draft position. So you can just not even draft one, go into free agency, and you have a pretty good chance of picking up a top five defense in fantasy. If your league has like weird scoring rules where defenses are worth a lot more, then maybe you think about it. But you don't need to draft one. Get a deeper bench, and then before the season starts, just find the best defensive matchup and pull that into your roster.
That's a great point, because a lot of times you can go and find a defense that you didn't really consider to be like top half of the league. Then you look at the first 3 or 4 weeks of their schedule and you're like, wow, they play a bunch of shitty offenses. I think I'll pick them up. And oftentimes that ends up being a top 5 or 10 defense for the whole season in fantasy. And there's a bit of a disconnect, in at least in standard defensive scoring for fantasy, between real life good defenses and good fantasy defenses. And it largely depends on touchdowns. If your defense scores multiple touchdowns, they're likely finishing near the top.
Well, and here's a great example of this from last year, the Dolphins. Dolphins were, on average, the last defense drafted. They're 32 in ADP. They finished number 4 overall in standard scoring for defenses because they scored a lot of touchdowns and they played a relatively easy schedule to start the season. Like those two things combined, and you find a defense like that, there's one of those every year. It's just, it can be luck finding them, but those defenses exist every single season. And if you hit on them once every 3 or 4 years and don't draft a defense at all those 4 years, that is 100% worth it, in my opinion.
All right. I think that's right, Nate. And a lot of times, or I think in the last 15 years of fantasy, no number one defense has ever repeated as the number one defense the next year. It's really fluky and depends a lot on luck. And if you look at, you know, average draft position the last, you know, probably 10 years or so, the top scoring defense from the prior year will get drafted like several rounds before the end of your draft. And very rarely do they even put up a top 5 performance.
And I think to give another Bills example, 2014 Bills, number 2 defense in the league. 2015, they were like a ADP was top 5. I mean, it might have even been top 3. I don't know off the top of my head. I think they finished like 24th. And that's what happens when you do that.
Right. And that kind of goes back to something Nate said earlier, like don't draft a second quarterback in, you know, a one quarterback league if you get one of the top guys, because you've just wasted a draft pick. You're wasting a draft pick taking the defense early if it's normal scoring.
Right. And the way I look at it, some leagues force you to draft the defense. Like it makes you draft at least one player for every starting position. So let's just draft the defense last or second to last if you have to draft a kicker too. Like, just kicker's probably honestly more, if you get a good one, better than defense to draft one. If you have to, kicker suck too, but easier to get a good kicker than a good defense.
Yes, I think we hit all 5 of my points, Nate. What is your last one here?
So my last point, it kind of goes along with what I had talked about with the zero running back strategy. That is a strategy you could go and do, and it's something that I've done this year a lot, and I enjoyed doing the strategy. Just because I think running backs are a very volatile position group. And so zero running back doesn't mean don't draft a running back, but my point is draft a bunch of young running backs in the middle rounds of your draft. There are very good young running backs you can get in round 7, 8, 9, 10 if you don't draft any running backs early in the draft, like a Javonte Williams. A guy you can get, like a Trey Sermon, a Michael Carter. You can get those guys pretty late in drafts. And if one of them hits for you, that's huge. And I think so stock up on young running backs in the middle rounds, especially if you don't draft a bunch of elite ones. And even if you do, if you have the opportunity to stock up on the 3 or 4 young running backs mid to late in your draft, do it. Because if one of those guys hits and has a huge season, that changes your whole season for you.
For sure. And I think it's important to be patient with those guys too, because a lot of times, you know, they're going to be competing with a veteran for the starting spot, or they're in a committee. And then eventually it just gets to the point where the coaching staff is like, all right, this young running back is so much better than, you know, what we already have on the depth chart. And then they take over late in the season and that wins you your league. So yes, Javonte Williams, Trey Sermon, those kind of guys are where I'm targeting in the middle rounds. So I think it's important to, you know, once you get outside of the elite running backs, obviously, you know, your Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara. Yes, those guys are veterans, but, you know, they're elite options in fantasy. Once you get beyond them, like, get some elite wide receivers and tight ends and then go find young running backs, because youth is king at that position.
Right. Especially the young running backs, like Alex just said, they become more important at the end of the season when playoff time comes. Like they might be on your bench for the first 8 weeks, and that's fine if they win you a championship. And that's why I like going about it that way.
All right. Seeing how we are a Bills podcast, we should probably discuss the Bills in the context of fantasy. So Nate, I think Josh Allen's the reigning quarterback 1, depending on your scoring. Is he going to be QB1 again, or where are you willing to take him in a one quarterback
league? given that I really like the zero quarterback strategy, I'm looking at getting a quarterback in the third round.
I think, yeah, looking at my board in like a half PPR, one quarterback league, it's somewhere in that fourth round is where I'll go Allen or Mahomes. Odds are I'm going to have a player that I have higher on my board than most other people do that ends up falling to me, you know, before I'm willing to take one of those guys. So I probably don't get them. But yeah, definitely don't go too early. You don't want to go before all of the elite running backs, wide receivers, tight ends are gone.
I guess to make for a little more nuance on my point, third round is if you're drafting in the middle to late part of your draft. If you're drafting top four, no, you're not getting him in the third round, because the third round, you're going to have a kind of early third round pick. And the chances of an elite guy like I was talking about being on the board there is pretty high. But in a one quarterback league, I'm trying to get Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that's how good Josh Allen is. And I really want one of those guys, but I'm not going to take them too early.
Right. And that all depends on your scoring too. Obviously, if you're in a two quarterback league, whatever format it is, or 6-point passing touchdowns, you better be considering Josh Allen in the first.
100%. And I mean, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes are the top two quarterbacks, no matter what ranking system you're using. I don't think there's any ifs, ands, or buts about it. Those are the first two guys off the board in every league.
So let's go to the pass catchers, because the running backs are kind of boring for fantasy. Stephon Diggs, I have, you know, pretty much everybody should have him as a top three, at worst, top five wide receiver in fantasy. And, you know, regardless of your scoring system, he has to be gone in the first two rounds.
Right. I have him at four. And I think, yes, four is the lowest you can go with him. I think the top four guys are pretty clear. And you could honestly have them in pretty much any order you want. To tell you the truth, I have him a little bit lower because he was so good last year that there's going to be regression in his stats. Not that we've talked about this before with Josh Allen too, but you just don't break all those records and have that good of a season and then just better it the next year. It doesn't happen very well. If it happens, like, I'll be pretty amazed.
Yeah, it's just the nature of luck, you know, that he had a great season last year, and it doesn't mean he got lucky. No, he's a very good player. He might score, you know, two less touchdowns and have like 100 less yards. And that can make a big difference, you know, where he finishes in fantasy. It's still a fantastic season.
And that's kind of my point. Like, he's going to have a great year. If he's going to catch, you know, 100 balls, six, seven, eight touchdowns, 1,000 yards, like, he's going to do all that stuff. But is he going to go 120 something for 1,500 yards? I don't think it's going to happen again.
Right, especially with the Bills adding some more weapons. So, are you willing to take any other Bills pass catcher? And if so, where?
Oh, it depends how deep the league is, I think, before I start thinking about that. Because every other Bills pass catcher is going to have games where they are, you know, top 24 wide receivers in the week. Every one of them is going to have a game or two like that. But I think they all kind of fall in the same tier for me. And where I'd be willing to draft them, like, they're all top 60. The top 65, maybe at the worst. But they're all teetering between, like, 50 and 65.
That's right where I have them. I have Beasley, Sanders, Davis, all kind of somewhere between, like, 45 and 55, I want to say. I haven't looked at my days. But in that range, I'm looking more for guys that can, you know, be a league winner for you. And I don't know if there's really a scenario where any of those three Bills receivers are going to win you a fantasy, because it's going to be hard to predict when those top 24 weeks are coming from those guys. And I'd much rather get a guy like Corey Davis, who is just going to be a target monster in a not very good offense, but, you know, he's good chance he finishes a top 30 wide receiver.
Right, and if you want to build a pass catcher who can win you a league and you can get pretty easily, you're drafting Dawson Knox.
See, I think that's interesting. There's a breakout year, I think, coming for Dawson Knox. He's kind of my guy for their offense. I just don't know if he's going to see the volume to be better than, like, tight end 10 to 12. It's just, I don't think he's going to catch 70 balls for 800 or 900 yards and 7 or 8 touchdowns. I don't see that happening with all the mouths they have to feed.
I guess, sort of changed my mind on that a little bit is that they only kept 2 tight ends. Dawson Knox being like basically the only tight end that's going to play significant snaps as of right now. I think there's a chance he gets a real good amount of targets. And to be a top tight end, like last year, there were 3 elite tight ends, really. Kelce, Waller, Kittle. If he can be in that next mid-tier of tight ends, that is huge. And you can, because based on where you can get him. And like he's going to have, I think, some games where he goes off. Not that I would want him as my tight end, but I would definitely take him as a second tight end in case he ends up blowing up. If I don't get a Kelce, Waller, Kittle type of tight end.
Right. If you get Kelce, Waller, Kittle, there's almost not even really a point in taking a second tight end. You'll have to find one on a bye week, but you're never going to play them. But I guess if you want to take one late, sure, take a shot with a guy like Dawson Knox, who's, depending how deep your league is, you know, if only 12, 14 tight ends are getting drafted, then, you know, Dawson Knox probably isn't even falling on that radar. But if you play in a deeper league, then absolutely, that's a guy to take a shot on.
I think he has the highest upside based on where he's going in the draft of any of the Bills' pass catchers.
I agree with that because, you know, like we said, there's so many mouths to feed a wide receiver relative to, you know, like you said, they're probably between 50 and 65 overall for wide receivers in fantasy. To crack the top 15 tight ends of fantasy isn't that hard. Like you said, basically just need the volume, and maybe he'll get that this year. It just depends how many times they put a tight end on the field in passing situations instead of, you know, 4 wide receivers and a running back.
I think the Bills are kind of approaching this. This is getting a little bit outside fantasy. It's more Dawson Knox as a receiver first and a tight end second. I think that's how he's going to be used this year. I kind of hope that's how he's going to be used. And because they don't use tight ends the standard way. I mean, and we'll see. But there's not a lot of targets to go around given the depth of the offense, but he's got a shot at doing something special.
All right. So I think with running backs, my advice with Bills running backs is going to be, just don't take one. Like, don't draft Zach Moss. Don't draft Devin Singletary. Because in no scenario are they going to be, are you going to be able to predict a top 20 week from either of those guys? It's going to be totally random. You know, there's probably going to be a week where Zach Moss scores 2 touchdowns. Can you look at the schedule and tell me when it's going to be? Because I can't.
And we saw last year, Brian Daboll changes his game plan based on the opponent, and because of that, we have no idea what they're going to do any given week. Like, we know they're going to throw a lot, but that's what they do. They throw the ball a lot. But there are weeks where it's like the Zach Moss game, there's weeks where it's the Singletary game, there's going to be weeks where Matt Breida gets like 10-12 touches. So yes, stay away from those running backs unless you're in a super deep league. If you're in a super deep league, then they're both deeper flex options. But if you're in a standard size league, then no, you don't. You just stay away.
If you're hunting for flex options, just go for more wide receivers. That's always my advice with flex, is fill it with wide receivers because they have much higher upside in a week. You know, almost any wide receiver in the NFL that's going to see 5 targets in a game has potential to go off for 20 points or more. You can't say the same for running backs outside of like the top 20 to 25 guys drafted. They're just, you don't have that potential.
I mean, there's like 3 guys that outside of that, that are going to like a James White type of player. But yeah, most of them, no. I mean, if they're not going to catch 4 or 5 passes, then let's play a wide receiver who has a pretty good chance of catching 4 or 5 passes compared to the standard backup running back.
Right. And if you look at where Zach Moss, Devin Singletary are going in drafts, pretty sure it's kind of in the neighborhood of like Jamal Williams, Tony Pollard, guys that are, you know, Jamal Williams probably already has a role on his own. You know, he'll probably see 30-40% of the snaps. But if the number one guy in the depth chart goes down in front of them, those guys can win you a week or even a league if it's an extended period of time. So why not take a chance on a guy that can, because fantasy's a week-to-week game. Why not take a chance on a guy that could be, you know, a top five running back in a week instead of Devin Singletary or Zach Moss, who, you know, probably finished top 35 at the position, but they're never useful in a week for you because you don't know when to play them.
Right. And that's definitely the way to go. You want to draft guys who have a shot at playing. It's the same reason I talked about earlier about drafting young running backs in the middle rounds. They have a really good shot at playing later in the season. Those are the guys that you want to go after. Like and outside of young guys, that's like a Tony Pollard in Dallas, like, or who's New England? Ramondre Stevenson in New England. Like, you go after a guy like that versus a running back by committee type of situation in Buffalo. Like, the Buffalo running backs, I'm not rostering any of them in any of my leagues this year, and I would highly advise all of you to do the same.
Exactly right. So I think we'll just, before we wrap up, we'll go over kind of our guys at each position group in fantasy. Like, obviously not someone that's in the top 3 to 5 that everybody wants. Nate, give me, who's your quarterback that's kind of like your sneaky, the guy you're targeting later on if you don't get an elite one?
I mean, probably is the same as yours, honestly, but Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That's a good one as well. For me, if it's a one quarterback league, I'm looking to go for a guy like Ryan Tannehill, who I believe is quarterback 3 since he took over as the Titans starter in like week 5 of 2019. He's the third best quarterback in fantasy since then. And he's still getting drafted around, you know, 10th, 12th in that range for quarterbacks. So if you miss out on, you know, those first 3 or 4 guys, just wait, take Ryan Tannehill, then pair him with like Trey Lance in the last round of your draft. Because Trey Lance could be a top 5, top 8 fantasy quarterback once he starts, because he's good at running.
And Trey Lance is a guy that, like, I love Trey Lance, especially in dynasty leagues, but I think, like, yes, he has a shot being a elite fantasy quarterback the second half of the season.
I think that's right. Like, you're not expecting him to be great right away, but that's a guy that can win you a league in your fantasy playoffs. Nate, who's your guy at running back?
This is a tougher one for me, but I've gone back and forth on this in terms of sleepers. Like, there's if a sleeper that I think is more of a guy who you can, like, early in the year is Latavius Murray in New Orleans. I think could get a decent amount of scoring, like, as a good flex option, depending on how the passing situation goes with Kamara. But the guy I like the most is Ramondre Stevenson in New England. And it's a young guy who lived up this preseason, who I think is going to be like a mid-tier flex running back at the worst by halfway through the season.
I like Stevenson a lot. I'm actually going to disagree with you on Latavius Murray, because he might be 3rd on the depth chart in New Orleans now. Nate and I just joined a startup dynasty league this year, and I may be biased because I have Tony Jones, but Tony Jones looks like he might be the second running back there in New Orleans. And if he's not right away, he's one of those guys that probably will be, because he's better than Latavius Murray at this point in his career. And if something happens to Alvin Kamara, all of a sudden, you know, a guy you probably took in one of the last rounds of your draft, and Tony Jones, could end up being a top 10 running back.
And that's for, like, Latavius Murray is never going to be the number one guy there. He's a guy who could score a lot. He could score a bunch of touchdowns early in the season. Like, that's where his potential value is.
Definitely. So who are your guys at wide receiver this year?
I mean, I think Russell Gage is, I like him a lot. I think Rondale Moore is my favorite because of the offense that they're playing in. He's going to get a ton of touches. Arizona loves short screens, quick throws, scheming guys in space. Rondale Moore is fit for that. Like, he's my number one wide receiver target. And then the other guy that I think has a really good shot of having a great season, depending on his quarterback play, is Terrace Marshall in Carolina.
I'm big on both of those guys, and they're basically free in your drafts. So you can probably get them at like wide receiver 60 or so. That late in your draft, it's okay to reach a round or two and get your guys. I really like Terrace Marshall and Rondale Moore. For me, I probably gave it away already. For me, it's Corey Davis. It's going to be boring. I don't think last year was a fluke. It was the first time he was healthy and played with a good quarterback in his career. in a contract year. But if you saw what they did in the preseason, and we try not to read too much into that, but Corey Davis was just soaking up all of the targets for the Jets. And yes, even bad offenses produce good fantasy players if they get the volume.
So the only thing with Corey Davis that makes me nervous isn't the right word, but is the quarterback situation. Like, the Jets have a rookie quarterback. Is he going to have the same value because of that? I don't know if he will earlier in the year, but I think, yes, if Zach Wilson ends up working out, then Corey Davis by week 7 or 8 could be great.
Yeah, and if looking at where he's going like outside wide receiver 35 or 40, I think. It's basically free in your draft to take him like in round 10, 11, you know, after you've taken those young running backs. You're not starting Corey Davis, like, so just take the chance on him.
Right. And I think he's a great one because I don't always think of veteran wide receivers. I tend, when I look at sleeper type guys, to look at younger players. So I think that's a good one for a more veteran player.
Definitely. So you already said Dawson Knox for tight end. Do you have another one?
I mean, my favorite, Dawson Knox was my favorite. He's not even, I don't know, sleeper tight end. He's probably like third or fourth. My favorite tight end sleeper is Cole Kmet in Chicago. I think if Justin Fields ends up being good, I think that's going to, he could have just let's go off this year.
Yeah, it makes me a bit nervous with Jimmy Graham still being there, but Cole Kmet like has to take over at some point, right? Like he's more athletic at this point. When it happens, who knows, but like I said, this is a guy at the end of your draft that's basically free. Take him in the last round and see what happens.
100%. Like the last, in a couple of leagues last year, I rostered him towards the end of the season, and he was ridiculous. Like he was a top 12 tight end at the end of the season last year. If he can do that, like I'm pumped.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to go kind of more at the end of that tight end one, top of tight end two range, just because I think that's probably where, in most leagues, that's where, you know, you're going to find a league winner because you're only getting 12 to 15 guys drafted, most likely, in a 10-team league. I'm going Jonnu Smith or Tyler Higbee. I think both of those guys have a great shot to finish at the top of that second tier at tight end 4.
So I'd actually have, I don't have Jonnu Smith in the second tier of me. But I have Smith and Henry as the top two in tier 3, but that's because I just can't picture one or the other one of them bumping up into tier 2. I think they're going to like hog targets from each other. But one of those guys, I think is I just don't know which one. I think one of those guys is a sleeper.
I think it's possible they, you know, one of them sees over 100 targets and the other sees 70 or 80. So they're probably going to play a lot of person. So it's a good chance that both of them finish as top 20 tight ends. Is one going to eat into the workload of the other? Possibly, but if you look at the other pass catchers on this on the Patriots team, I think the tight ends could see like over 200 targets combined, and you know that's more than enough for both of them to end up as top 10, top 12 tight ends.
Okay, well the Patriots did something pretty interesting for the 53-man roster. It's this isn't their final roster. I haven't seen if they did anything. Since then, but I mean, they kept one quarterback, 6 running backs, and then 9 total wide receivers and tight ends. So that tells you that they're probably going to run the ball a lot, and at the very least, run a lot of 2 tight end sets.
Right, and we've seen them produce 2 great fantasy tight ends at one time before. That's when they had Tom Brady as quarterback, but you know they have to throw the ball sometimes. So it's worth a shot, I think, on Jonnu Smith late, but. Nate, anything else you want to add, or do you want to wrap this fantasy podcast?
We can wrap this up. The only thing I'm going to say is just make sure when you do fantasy, have fun. Like, fantasy's having fun, even if you lose. Sometimes you do lose, but like we said, if you follow some basic tips, have a board, you're not going to be the worst team in your league.
I think that's exactly right. You got to have fun playing fantasy, but it is also fun to win money. So hopefully some of these tips help you. That'll bring us to an end of this episode of the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I'm your co-host, Alex Pollinger.
And I am Nate Schreiber.
Subscribe, download, give us a rating and a review wherever you get your podcasts. It helps other people find the show. Follow us on Twitter at Bills_Breakdown. Send us any questions, comments, feedback to BillsBreakdownPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.